Hello everybody. This is a recording of Pascal Girard's message for Sunday, the 5th of June. In Jerusalem, the world Jewish community celebrated the Feast of Weeks. This feast took place 50 days after the Passover feast. 7 weeks plus a day. This is why we speak of the Feast of Weeks. Jesus was resurrected 3 days after the Passover and remained with the disciples for 40 days until he returned forever to his Father. A week later, Israel celebrated this holiday, to which Jews from all over the world went. The disciples had been staying in Jerusalem for a week. They often went to the temple and worshipped God. They also met in a house to pray. Suddenly, something strange happened. A sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Something that looked like tongues of fire descended from the sky, and these landed on each disciple. Thus all were filled, so to speak, visibly with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit enabled them. When the people of Jerusalem heard this tremendous sound, they flocked to this house in droves and were extremely disconcerted by this inexplicable event. They were particularly surprised to be able to understand in their own language all that the disciples were saying. Amazed, they said to each other, "We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Peter explained to them what was happening and what it meant. As a result of this preaching, about 3,000 people came to faith in Jesus Christ that day alone. In the days that followed, God saw to it that many more people were saved, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The number of Christians has increased to about 5,000. What spectacular growth! We can only dream of it and hope that there will be many more such powerful revivals. All of this is due to the Holy Spirit, as Jesus told his disciples. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And until today, the main concern of the Holy Spirit is that Jesus be announced as Saviour and Redeemer. But it wasn't just people who trusted their lives to Jesus and wanted to follow him. The priests and leading Jews were far from happy with this new movement. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They wanted to nip this movement in the bud. For this, they first used the method of intimidation. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. And the next day, they threatened Peter and John and forbade them to tell anything about this Jesus again. But the two men were not intimidated and replied that it would be impossible for them not to talk about what they had seen and heard. It was very brave of them. But would they be able to cope with this pressure? What would be the impact of the action of the Holy Spirit? It is these questions that we will focus on today. We first read what happened when Peter and John were set free from the account in Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain?" The kings of the earth rise up, and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And this is indeed what happened. Pushed to their limits, freed, Peter and John rushed to the Christians. They reported the intimidation attempts and threats. We can easily imagine the horror of Christians at this incident. These people had already put Jesus on the cross. They would have no problem acting in the same way against his followers. They wanted to silence them. Basically, their backs were against the wall. We know that. Although we live in a country whose roots are Christian, they don't want us to talk too much about Jesus. And indeed, we don't always dare to talk about Jesus. We could allow ourselves to be muzzled, although freedom of expression is a precious commodity in our society. Perhaps we can learn from the disciples in Jerusalem how to free ourselves from this salvation. How the disciples overcome fear. The Christians had quite a large influence in Jerusalem. The priests therefore let Peter and John go because they feared the reaction of the people. There was indeed no valid reason to punish them. The Christians were already reaching a respectable size of 5,000 followers. They could have exerted political pressure. To them it was clear that only God could accomplish what would serve the kingdom of God in this situation. So they did the only thing to do in this situation. They turned to God and began to pray, an example to follow, by assuming our fears. In this prayer, we would perhaps have expected now that they would first present their distress to God. It wouldn't have surprised us at all. But they began by praying to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Acts 4, verse 24. They first insisted on the omnipotence of God, who therefore knows no limits. Therefore is our prayer too. This is our prayer too. We recognize our Lord unique and limitless in his power. That is worship. And then they recognize themselves in their situation by remembering the kings of this world and the leaders leagued against each other to fight the Lord and his anointed. They understood that the persecution they now faced was actually the persecution of Herod and Pontius Pilate, of the heathen nations and tribes of Israel against Jesus. They understood that when Christians are attacked, it is in fact Jesus who is attacked. Remember, Jesus himself said to Paul, who was on his way to exterminate the Christians of Damascus, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? This persecution was for them neither a surprise nor an accident. They did not reproach God. They did not complain about their unpleasant situation. They didn't want God to tell them why he was allowing this. They knew it had to happen, and they accepted that reality. Peter wrote to Christians who had to endure difficult situations because of their faith, not to be surprised. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. After this long passage of adoration and affirmation of this unpleasant and threatening situation, they finally came to their request. If we did not know this passage from the Acts of the Apostles, we would now expect the church to ask to be preserved. Lord, do not suffer any of us to be wronged. Lord, preserve us from the attacks of these people, etc. To be honest, what these Christians ask of God is still surprising and astonishing to us. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. They therefore did not ask to be released from their predicament. They pleaded with God to keep them from giving up sharing the gospel out of fear. May God make them intrepid and without fear. They wanted to spread the gospel no matter what, even if their lives were to be threatened. They were afraid, but they didn't want to be guided by that fear. They wanted to fulfill Jesus' mission and spread the gospel message. It is not unusual that when we talk to people about Jesus, we may be afraid. This fear is completely justified because in this way we can lose friends. Our reputation can be massively affected. People can distance themselves from us. Paul also had to struggle with this. He wrote to the Christians of Corinth, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling." 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. The great Paul was fearful and insecure, but he preached the gospel anyway. He did not let his fears guide him. So we have to trust God for everything, and like the first disciples, to ask for the realization of very specific things so that people recognize that Jesus is the Messiah. We are addressing a great God. The disciples had seen with their own eyes how God worked signs and wonders through the hands of the apostles. So they expected a lot of him. The disciples did not understand miracles as something that would make their lives more livable. They were not primarily seeking to restore sick Christians to health. They especially wanted these miracles to draw people's attention to Jesus and to save them for the present and eternity. Witnesses with courage. Three great things happened then. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. The ground shook. Certainly they had not asked that of God. But God gave them this sign of encouragement, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They did not ask for the Holy Spirit, but they asked to be able to share the gospel without fear. They left it up to God to decide how he was going to do it. This is how God decided to fill them with the special presence of the Holy Spirit. This does not mean that these Christians did not have the Holy Spirit before. If they hadn't had the Holy Spirit, they couldn't have prayed like that, obviously. God can strengthen us in a special way through the Holy Spirit in certain situations, in such a way that we feel his presence and his strength in a special way. The effect of this particular reinforcement was immediately visible. They spoke the word of God boldly. This is indeed one of the most important tasks of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus told his disciples. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Here's a final thought. This story shows us what the Holy Spirit wants to accomplish in the life of a Christian. He wants to enable us to testify of Jesus even when the wind blows violently against us. Let us take the example of these disciples of Jerusalem. They weren't ready to be muzzled. They pleaded with God. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Amen.